Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Something deathly serious is about to happen today in church. Six young people are going to stand up before the church and their families and before God. And they will give public confession of faith in Jesus Christ, their Savior and Lord. As at their baptisms, and as at yours, they will renounce the devil, all his works, and all his ways. They will assert, "Yes, I believe," to each of the three articles of the Apostles' Creed, professing faith in the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. They will profess the Bible to be the true Word of God and the small catechism to be a faithful explanation of it. And finally, they will answer these two questions. Do you intend to live according to the Word of God and in faith, word, and deed to remain true to God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, even to death? And do you intend to continue steadfast in this confession and church, and to suffer all, even death, rather than fall away from it? In other words, our confirmands will indicate whether or not they are willing to keep the faith until the very end of their dying breath, and to even be willing to forfeit their lives for the name of Jesus if they be called upon so to do. And whether you are in eighth grade, an eight-year-old, or 80 years old, that's a rather sobering thing to think about on a Sunday morning. In our epistle today, the Apostle Paul writes, "If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved." Confirmation Day is about confessing your faith. And faith is about believing and trusting in Jesus Christ, the one who died and lives for you, the one who rescues you from sin, death, and the power of the devil. Christianity is a matter of life and death. Christ's death and yours, and Christ's life within you. Confession is a matter of life and death, and today, and every day forward, you must decide whether to live by faith or die in sin and unbelief. If you want to be a disciple of Jesus, you must take up your cross daily and follow him, even to death and the grave. Paul's words in Romans 10 are powerful. They're inspiring, but they also seem to imply that we must do something in order to be saved. Confess with your mouth. Believe in your heart. Do this, and you will be saved. It sounds a lot like what our Baptist brothers and sisters insist, that we need to do something, that we need to ask Jesus to come into our hearts, that we need to say the sinner's prayer, that we need to invite him to be the Lord and Savior of our life. If we don't say something, are we saved? If we don't make public confession in church, if we don't bear witness through personal evangelism to unbelievers, will we be saved? Is this the bargain, that Jesus died for my sins, but until I talk about it, I'm still lost? What if I'm quiet? What if I'm shy? What if I don't know how to start a spiritual conversation with a stranger? Does that mean that I'm damned and I'll go to hell? No. Verse 10 helps us understand verse 9. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. Justification is something that God does to us, not something that we do to ourselves, not something that we do for God. Justification is forensic language. It's courtroom talk. Justification is a legal decree. It's a pronouncement of innocence, because the blood of Jesus has washed away your sin, and the devil has no rap sheet on you anymore. Justification is God declaring you not guilty for your sins. God justifies you. You are justified by grace alone, through faith alone, and Christ alone, apart from any works of the law. You can't do anything to save yourself. Christ already did it when he died on the cross and rose again to give you eternal life. Ephesians 2, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. Grace and faith are gifts, God's gifts. God gives you faith in Christ when you're baptized. When you hear and believe the preaching of the good news, God justifies, God saves, God puts faith in your heart. God does it all. And the joyful, heartfelt response to Christ saving you is to confess with your mouth what God has already placed in your heart to believe. The confession doesn't save you. Christ saves you. But we confess because we are saved. It's a matter of not putting the cart before the horse. Or if you need a more modern analogy, not putting the fifth wheel in front of the truck. And so just as you might write a thank you note to somebody who gives you a gift on your birthday or for Christmas, so also we confess Christ. You don't write a thank you note in order to get the gift. It's not as though somehow the gift is predicated upon you first writing your thank you note, is it? No, you write the thank you note because you have already received the gift. You say thanks because you've been blessed. And we give thanks and praise to God for saving us. We call on his name in prayer. We're eager to tell others what God has done for us. And when we see somebody else who's in need of hope and life, we joyfully tell forth of what Christ has done for us so that they too can have hope and joy and life. And confession is best kept in community. Notice how often this morning I've been talking about we, not I, not you, we. In fact, the Greek word for confess means to say the same thing as somebody else. When we confess the creed, we say together the same things about God, saying that we believe these things together. And our English word confirmation comes from a Latin word that means to make something stronger together. We confess together. We are stronger together. And our faith gets stronger as we gather together around God's word and his sacrament. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. You can never get enough of God's word. You can never get enough of Jesus. God always has more blessing for you, more Jesus, more forgiveness, more gifts, because God isn't done with you. And so it's good for us to take note on this day and remind ourselves, if we were already confirmed, that confirmation is not graduation. It doesn't mean that you are done learning about God or that your relationship with him is at an end or that you don't have to journey with Jesus through the life of the church anymore. I know it's confusing because we put on white gowns that look like graduation robes. You get a confirmation certificate that looks an awful lot like a diploma. And then we make much fanfare with flowers and cake and all those trappings that go along at a graduation party. But confirmation is not graduation. It's not an ending. It's another beginning. We must confess together. And since then, we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast to our confession. As the author of the letter to the Hebrews writes, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Jesus promises to be present wherever two or three are gathered together in his name. And so wherever you have at least two Christians, you have a church. And wherever you have a church, you have Jesus. Now it's true that if you were on an island all by yourself, Jesus would still be with you. He says, "Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." But he has promised that he is with us in community. Because the Christian life is not just about me and Jesus, Jesus and me. The Christian life is about us together. And the Christian life is difficult. On your own, it is harder to resist the devil's attacks, persecution, temptation, doubt, despair. There's a saying that if you want to go fast, then travel alone. If you want to go far, travel together. And in your life, in your journey of faith, you want to go far, all the way to the end. And so we travel together. You need us and we need you. We're together on the journey. And so let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing. But let us encourage one another. And all the more as you see the day approach. Don't stop going to church just because you're done with confirmation. Don't stop hearing God's word of law and gospel every day. In your study, your personal study and meditation and devotion upon God's word, never go it alone. The church is not done with you, and you are not done with the church. And so we come back to those two deadly serious questions. Do you intend to live according to the word of God, and in faith, word, and deed to remain true to God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, even to death? And do you intend to continue steadfast in this confession in church and to suffer all, even death, rather than to depart from it? And if you believe in Jesus, you must say, "I do, by the grace of God. I do, by the grace of God." That's the answer to the question of whether or not you are willing to die for Christ who died for you. I do, by the grace of God. Only by the grace of God can we believe his word. Only by the grace of God can we call on his name. Only by the grace of God can we confess Christ before the world. And only by the grace of God will we contend for and keep the faith. It is not you who does it. It is Christ in you who does it. Jesus does it all. Pure grace. I do, by the grace of God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.